more on.
Agama tu agama ni tak benarkan transfusi darah,
the whole world business that type. So dari awal kecil the anak, you see, instill, tengok kata ini, instill early in life. So he has no choice. It is already like a brainwashed dia, macam itulah. So it can be that way, yeah. So moral behavior is often derived, huh? Selalunya berasal dari religious beliefs, kepercayaan, right? To social influence is possible because it's the environment yang yang mould up. You see what I mean? So if like if a child, right, selalu di sekitaran yang sangat hostile, yeah. Selalu macam pukul orang tak ada apa, yeah. Terus dia selalu pun kena pukulan. Yes. So he will grow up to be very hostile person. So later on dia dewasa pun dia pukul orang pun macam tak ada apa. Sebab saya pun terkenal tak ada orang betulkan orang itu. So I think that to pukul orang is saya punya hak. It can be because it's from young and from the society or from the sekitaran they have lived in, right? So in other words, when we talk about moral behavior, we say that when seseorang itu ialah bermoral, that means also ialah seorang yang mempunyai etika, berethical, ethical decisions, huh? Means it's based on laws. So that's why if you don't have laws, then sini dipanggil cowboy town ini. Suka buat apa, boleh buat apa, right? So laws are rules of social conduct made by men, manusia yang mendraftkan itu law to protect society. So it's based on concerns, keadilan and also justice. Fair or not fair. So how does this affect nursing pula? You see, in nursing we are selalu menghadapi banyak keadaan yang memerlukan kita fikir, itu ethical ke, moral ke, or should I do, should I not do, what is going to happen. See, we have to protect patients' rights and human dignity. That's very important. That's why everything yang kita tahu itu, data kita tahu, it is supposed to be rahsia, confidential. That's very important to start off with lah. And I think you know, so shouldn't kena mention things like informed consent. Walaupun law kata lepas 18 tahun sendiri boleh sign consent. But if you have somebody yang 80 tahun datang untuk surgery, right? Dia sudah 18 tahun dah apa? Mengikut law, dia lahak untuk ni consent sendiri. But we still inform the next of kin. Or bini orang ialah 20 tahun, dia tahu doktor cakap itu op, terangkan. But because the op is a neuro op, it will have some neuro complications. Then we have to inform somebody else also, next of kin. So this is called something moral. You don't have to wait and the patient, ibu bapa pusing balik, tunjuk jari and say, he may be 18 years old, you can sign consent, but don't you think you should have informed me too, as a parent? That's why this is called morality. You see what I mean? It's your obligation. You are committed to tell. You see, alright? And even then, if a doctor just hantar seorang HO yang baru boleh jalan betul di ward and explain neuro off, right? And miss out, tinggal banyak-banyak risiko tak cakap, and akhirnya the patient can have some of the neuro effect like mouth stroke ke apa-apa, then it is not moral. The consultant should have checked that this is only a houseman. Ikut their level of expertise, like just now I say banner. Have you assigned or delegated correctly? That is not moral. You should have given a senior MO or something like that. You see what I mean? So that is why this is come out of it. Every day we are confronted with this. And we provide care so as we possible risk, providing care with possible risk to the nurses' health. This is protecting the nurses. Like last time when we had SARS, JE, Japanese encephalitis, alright, now H1N1. When it first started, We search all the internet pun tak ada cara yang betul untuk jaga patient yang macam ini. Alright, and patient secretion, suctioning kita buat, kita tak pakai apa. You see what I mean? Nah? So, that's why lawfully this is wrong. That means the nurse is doing the work which is very risky and not giving given protective. That's why for the JE or the SARS, I was one of them also. We just continue because the masa Bukit Pelantuk ialah tempat yang the most number of cases, so UH was the pusat rujukan, referral center. So at the end of the sample, WHO bagi kita hazard allowance. Tak banyak, RM900. Just to say that kalau ada apa-apa berlaku risiko, this is to compensate. Because that time we didn't know it was spread by respiratory air droplet. We didn't even give you that kind of a shield to look after patient girl and this and that. You see what I mean? So this is why if you provide care that can be risky to the nurse, this is also not ethical. Dari mana? Majikan. That means majikan itu gagal. You see what I mean? Right? And staffing patterns that limit patient to nursing care. And this is also classified as not moral. In other words, you know that these patients are very ill, like intensive care. You need the nurses, because patient on respirator, tak boleh cakap. Apa katanya kalau itu endotracheal tube dah keluar sikit ke, or take dia longgar ke, patient boleh extubate accidentally, and can tak, orang tahu lah, the patient cannot panggil. But you never give enough staff. Then by right, you should have no harm to open ICU, you should tutup ICU. You should close some of your beds. You see, otherwise it's not morally right to the patient. Because the patient requires that nursing care, but you did not give the right number of staff. That's why you see private hospital, when they cannot have the beds ready, they always hunt down to the bigger hospital. Because that is correct, morally obligated. That our ICU can only take in 4 beds. Our 4 patients are there, full. So this patient we cannot say tumpang ward dulu lah. Bila ada patient yang meninggal ke, keluar kita masuk balik ICU lah. No tumpang business here. Morally is against, not obligated. Yeah. So that is common issues. And sedikitnya perbincangan, apakah isu-isu ethical yang memang apa kata disturbing, very bad. Families, patient or families were uninformed. That's what I was telling you. That's why dengan ini kita ada informed consent. Last time you have one standard consent saja for surgery. So the surgeon yang explain and then orang sign sudah. Then later on they found out that a certain percentage of patients post-op complication bukan dari surgery. Is from anesthesia. So the patient can go to mahkamah and say that doktor yang ceritakan dia punya teknik surgery dan sebagainya, tapi saya tak dengar dari doktor yang akan berikan saya pembiusan. Now this is the reaksi ubat pembiusan. Kalau saya tahu, I would, like just like you give immunization vaccine itu MMR ke or whatever chickenpox ke apa, there is no vaccine yang 100% jamin ya. Dari dekat sekali ialah 99.9%. Itu maksud tertinggal lagi 1.1% yang boleh ada komplikasi. You see tak? And malangnya kalau you jatuh dalam ini 0.1%, then what you going to do? You see tak? So now we have two consents, general surgery. One is from the pihak surgery, then the pihak anesthesia. So the anesthetic will come and look at the patient, assess the patient, and then decide the anesthetic form. And then if the patient is a really high risk case or elderly, then they have another consent, panggil informed consent. Have you all been exposed to this? This is how it started. So you see how things are changed? So we've got to look at what are the issues yang crop up lah as it goes along. And then another ethical issue is prolonging the dying process with inappropriate measures. This is what it is. Especially now, with a lot of issues on brain death, you dia lah, confirm brain dead, but the patient is still nafas, ada ECG, denyut-denyut, it's because of the ubat you giving. You're giving atropina, dopamina, whatever, through the syringe pump itu. That's why the patient, but actually the patient is dead. You're prolonging life for what? You see or not? With inappropriate measures. That means to say you're prolonging ECG, you know what EEG? And brain death issue. Have you had some lectures on it? Brain death means to say they have already confirmed the test from the neurosurgeon, neuro physician. They done 3 EEG, but serial, and they done a lot of testing everything tanpa ada gangguan sedative, and the patient is no response. Right? So then the consultants, anesthesia, and neurophysician confirm positive brain death. Then they will tell the relatives. Actually, what you see is a patient, your relative of yours. Jantung masih denyut as because kita gantung itu ubat. Dan dia pun ada hyperalimentation, you know, hyperalimentation. You hang up your aminoplasma, all that kind of thing. Patient ada air kencing because kita bagi IV fluids. You see not? Tapi the patient is actually brain dead. Then we consult them for organ harvesting. You see not? We have to get organ. And that means to say, do you want the relative to donate kidneys, to donate the heart, the skin, the cornea, all these things. Right? So, then if you don't tell them and everything, you're still going on and on the IV therapy. The patient is already brain dead. You know that you are depriving a patient from going to ICU. Because one patient may need to go into ICU and use a ventilator. Tak boleh masuk because this patient is using the bed. So, you see you are in a macam dilemma. You are putting the patient on ventilator, that may be the last ventilator you have. And the patient is brain dead. And there is one accident emergency coming in, young fella who needs ventilator and kena masuk ICU tapi no bed. But this person is in bed. So itu bukan panggil ke ethical. So morally macam mana, you cannot play God. You see what I mean? So what is the decision? You see, because in this country we do not have a law untuk euthanasia. You know euthanasia? It means I can off the ventilator. I can stop the IV drip, everything. Right, but now, right? Because I work very close with Professor Dato' Professor Dr. Alex Alvin, yang pakar neurosurgeon, and who also took up law also. Now they passed the issue already that if you are clinically brain dead, they can stop all the active treatment already. They cannot turn off the respirator, but they don't have to gantung drip. Dopamina, adrenalina, lagi kasih the blood lah, darah noni already, and then they will slowly tap, and then it's history. You see what I mean? You see, that is how the law. If you don't have law, the patient's relative can turn forward and sue us for murder, you see, homicide. Alright, so that's why these are called ethical issues. Then not considering the quality of patient's life. Let's say in a ward, you have two patients, right? One patient there, lying in the bed, had a cardiac arrest. This patient is a very famous man, and jutawan, ada banyak duit dia derma untuk banyak ni. And then on another bed, there's one orang yang sangat miskin, alright? Dan tak ada rumah. Dijumpai oleh polis di jalan raya, whatever, drug addict. Lain lah, opposite. Dua orang cardiac arrest sama-sama. Yang mana you kena lari untuk resuscitation? Saya kata, alamak, kenapa dua pun berhenti jantung sekali? Tunggulah sebentar. Nah, kalau dia berlaku, katalah, what are you going to do? So this is called not considering a quality of vision. You resuscitate the jutawan because it's a jutawan. Pasal dia terkenal. Pasal dia banyak sumbangan kepada masyarakat. Then this one, ayah, dia teruknya untuk masyarakat lah. macam sampah like that, banyak susah lah ini, kena jaga dia, kena rumah dia, kena. So let this one die. Is that it? What you gonna decide? Right? Harap you tak ada dalam situasi macam tu. You see what I mean? That is what I mean. This is why a lot of this, for those people who study ethics, law and ethics, nursing ethics, this is some challenging issues they debate. So as if it really becomes a reality, they will decide better. Now, belum berlaku, kita dalam berbincang, is better. You see what I mean? So as you make you more aware. The other one is implementing managed care policies that threaten the quality of care. Implementing managed care policies that threaten the quality of care. In other words, you are busy finding the best drug and everything for the patient. But actually the patient is already terminal. Tapi you still don't want to suggest hospice care, palliative care. You still continue and continue until the patient just says, I cannot really give up. You see what I mean? That is wrong. You see what I mean? Alright? And working with unethical or impaired colleagues. So you know your colleague has, let's say you have a colleague who has got, this is for study purposes. Elakkan cakap dengan Anwar lah. This is like, you notice that the colleague has got some infectious diseases, sexually transmitted girl or whatever. You, they'll confide in you, tell you, alright? And that, let's say it may be HIV, you never know, huh? Or the colleague can be on drugs, but you saw it or you heard it, her telling you, but you don't want to report it because it's your friend. And you know your colleague is a registered nurse, ada kunci buka DDA drug. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You see what I mean? This is working with unethical or you call it impaired colleagues. What are you going to do? Alright? So this is how it's going to be. Alright? So moral or ethical policy is very important, is that you keep fidelity. In other words, here you're talking about rahsia. Now you tell your kawan nak cakap, is it rahsia anymore? This is where your decision is. Where does your allegiance lie? In other words, where does your when you go to work to do the moral thing, you are actually respecting who? Your employer lah. You are protecting the name of your employer. You know what I mean? Right? So you must know, right, when you do things right, at the end of the day, the employer is the one who gets the name. That is the way it is. Like here we do sebagai rakyat yang setia. We are doing it because for the country. You see what I mean? Alright, so where does your honor and honesty all lie? Give clear direction for action. That's why you must have protocols. You must have policies. You must have regulations. If you are new, you don't know about it, you have to read about it. That's why all new employees master orientation selepas tengok ini physical structure, memperkenalkan staff, lain-lain orang, selalu diberikan sedikit masa dan semua file for you to know what is the policy like. Just like later you ambil kerja baru, they will also have policy like, is it your hak to get cuti? Some people memohon cuti kata it's their hak. It's not their hak. It's only a privilege. Kalau ketua boleh spare, dia spare. Kalau tak boleh spare, you cannot maki the boss. Because that is not your hak. It's a privilege. People fail to understand. How do you apply EL? You see, so all these are policies that you have to go through. Alright? And important when you kata prinsip berkaitan dengan moral, you have to respect semua individual sebagai serupa. That's just now I told you the resuscitation. Satu DVIP jutawan, satu orang yang macam ini. So if you are saying that better resuscitate this one because she makes a better rakyat compared to this person here, street person, isn't it? So how? Interest of the majority is protected. So when it comes to morality and ethical, selalunya kita ambil minat ialah pada keseluruhan rakyat. We don't asingkan yang terkenal, termasyumi orang. Alright? Results are evaluated for their good and actions may be modified. So there is no kata you know, law policy semua ialah guideline, panduan, pedoman. Tapi kita boleh modify dengan rationale atau justifikasi why we do it. And individuals ada lebih kawalan, autonomy to make decisions in your own and best interest for that time. So this one has got to learn up as you go along. And moral distress. Now if you don't follow principle or follow guidelines, you will end up very stressed up. Distress, I call it. You will have painful feelings that occur because someone performs an action whereby the nurse believes to be immoral but are powerless to stop. So it's better you are realistic, you realize that based on your philosophy, what you are doing this. I'll give you an example. Let's say any jurawat adalah dari keluarga yang sangat-sangat beragama. Agama boleh lah, very religious. And mereka menganggapkan kehamilan sebagai satu aktiviti manusia yang sangat suci. Pregnancy is something God sent, very good thing. And suddenly you're in a hospital and lagi pun kerja di Dewan Bedah. Alright? And this person comes in with she's a young teenager, remaja tapi mengandung, and di rumah dia cuba buat macam-macam untuk menggugurkan kehamilan. Because in Malaysia, kegugaran is not a law. Abortion is illegal. Euthanasia is illegal. So what you dengar orang buat abortion di itu lorong mana-mana itu semuanya illegal. That's why sometimes they come in dengan sepsis. And that's where they surely hantar ke hospital untuk habiskan itu kerja. So when you are in theatre and you happen to see this patient lying there akibat daripada abortion yang sepsis, sengaja buat itu, dia pergi mana-mana Dr. Quack ke buat apa-apa akibatnya macam ini. And then you come in for ini surgery and you come from a religious family. So what are you going to do? To bantu doktor sebagai jurawat, scrub nurse ke, theatre nurse, ataupun tell the sister, I cannot take this case because I cannot stand this woman, this young girl like that. How can she do that? Who know their way and fetus? You know what I mean? So you are in this one. You can be in moral distress. Painful feelings that occur because someone performs an action like this girl, apa kata, kehamilan luar nikah lah kan. And you as a nurse, yang sangat moral about it. You see or not? But anda tak ada kuasa berhentikan dia. But you know the law, you know what you're doing, you know philosophy is that it is not my philosophy to stigmatize people. Maybe you should rationalize. Maybe kisian dia lah, her lifestyle is like that. Maybe she didn't have parental, she's orang anak yatim or whatever. You rationalize it in that way lah, you turn the bola instead you help her. If not, you will get this distress. Because it's conflict of interest, just like the Jehovah's Witness. You see or not? Mau mati ini, you don't want blood transfusion. Then you start to lecture orang. Salah lah. Yeah, alright? So you can be powerless to do it, but you still have to do it. You see what I mean? Alright? And you can be feelings of loss of self-worth. A negative effect on personal relationships, psychological effects. Some people can get depression also. Behavior manifestation, you know, you can get nightmares, physical symptoms, headache, diarrhea. So these are all macam psychosomatic already lah. That means you're feeling that, hey, I don't know what am I doing lah. Suddenly, everything is sometimes people nak jadi sehat, jatuh sakit, tapi ini orang sehat, sendiri mau commit suicide. Then you're having very different feelings. You see, no? So that's why it is very important that, or you see your friend, as I say, on suddenly start drug, and then you say, if I expose her, then she will be born to jail. For all you know, she will go to penjara. So pretend I don't know. Apa susah? You say, pretend I don't know, I tak bantu kawan. Then aku takut nanti dia kerja lah, dia dia boleh in and out of DDA cupboard, you know what DDA cupboard ni lah. So you you got this distress in you. You see what I mean lah? Alright? So it can happen. Alright? So this is just to tell you, be very aware that in our line, we are always exposed to a lot of moral obligation. So there is no textbook that teaches what it is. So it is good that from now, it's a very final year, along the corridor year, you are the most senior of the students, am I right? So you have to now go to the ward, open your eyes and ears and see how many is that I have only 2 days with you. If not, you can have a small little assignment also. Pick up one that is considered little issue or not. So issues in nothing but you can get many assignments. And you can't answer the question by tandakan jawapan betul salah all the time. You have to write it out, express it. You see what I mean? Okay, so far tahap ini saya seorang yang bercakap saja macam active center ni. Any questions or not? Aku tak bersenangkan yang bercakap pula. I think we take this time. Any questions, comments pun boleh. So far, can you understand the first part of it? So the whole morning, they give me this whole package to handle your philosophy. What is your kepercayaan, what is it? Right? What is theories, what are models, and how does it affect your thinking better into more focused thinking? So that before you marah somebody, now you're thinking through the process. Alright? And moral application. Every day we are exposed to moral application. So the more you follow the ethical part, the easier for you and your friends. You must also understand, you're putting your friends in a very difficult position. Sometimes you wish your friends, please lah, don't tell me better. You tell me lagi susah aku. Pretend I don't hear it pura-pura. Maybe you don't know your friend is maklum pada you because they trust you. And when they trust you, maybe she wants you to help her. You don't know. So it's better you talk it out like that. Yeah, for yourself, I think you have to do something about it. Do you want me to inform? You know, something like that. So these are things that you expose. And what about organ transplant? There are so many issues coming up. Organ transplant is another one. And then organ transplant, just now I said lah, harvesting your organ, giving to somebody, right? Especially in India, some of the, not India only, a lot of third world countries yang sangat miskin ni. Sometimes you can just jalan along the highway, road ke apa, ada orang just bagi you to spray ke whatever, then you pengsan. And then the next thing you bangun, you tengok kenapa ada sekarang, dia sudah tolongkan your kidney for sale. What I mean, so that is very, very sad. It has happened. You read in journals, you read in magazines, also been reported like that. So when they wake up, they see the scar. And the scar is not an appendix scar, it's a place where your kidney is down. Somebody must have paid this agent syndicate lah, that if you get me a healthy, clean kidney, I can give you so much. And these people are the power of duit lah. They use money and get it from the poor. And some countries can be so poor, never mempunyai satu radio, so they trade off the organ for the radio. See what I mean? No, exchange lah. I sell my kidney, give me the money, I can buy a radio. I never had a radio or television in my life. So this is, I said, moral ethical. And who is the one who take the kidney? It's a surgeon, it's a doctor. So doctors also can be unethical all the way. You see what I mean? And the latest case about John baby. You see what I mean? So all this is ethical, not ethical lah. You see what I mean? So a lot of things can in the hospital also can happen. And then in certain countries that are so poor, you know, you go to hospital, banyak sesak orang kan. Sometimes you have to tunggu for your turn kan. Selalunya kita gunakan sistem triage lah. Have you heard that? But there are certain people, dia punya corruption begitu tinggi. You upah the staff, kasih duit, bagi berikan duit, then your giliran lagi laju cepat tengok doktor. So what happens to those yang tak ada duit? Tepikan. 4 jam, 8 jam belum dapat tengok doktor. And even in the hospital pun ada berlaku. Right in front of my eyes pun ada. Suddenly I tanya staff yang cakap, oh night duty bila I kerja. Alright, night duty kita kena cover banyak areas. Alright, what happened is that satu kematian dah berlaku, kematian macam biasa lah. It is not over accident. Dia apa macam orang tua, very old patient and very old and very sickly patient pun. Family pun sudah tahu and everything in general what. Yeah? So, okay lah, meninggal lah, straightforward case. Bukan medical legal ke apa. Tapi tak lama, straight away yang itu syarikat yang membuatkan itu kebumian dia, hal funeral parlor lah, sudah tahu lah. So, siapa yang SMS-kan dia, siapa yang network-kan dia. Takkan 3 pagi dia sudah tahu pagi itu cepat. So maybe somebody in, could be in the ward already connectivity connection, ada contact maklum, and bila dia datang, so the relatives are outstation, dia kata kesian, susah nak hantar mayat balik ke kampung jauh itu, kita ada service yang boleh buat ini, mengapa bla bla bla, kita boleh hantar balik, everything arrange for you, then the package dia ialah ini. So this is top lah, it's called TORT, which is also tak moral lah. At the end of it, maybe who yang reporter itu dah bagi dia duit lah, or something like that. So this is not ethical, immoral juga. You see what I mean lah? Alright, so this is all the time going on. So you should not be encouraged lah, this sort of thing. Okay? Right, I think I'll stop here. When you come back, selepas lunch, that means sesi petang, we're going to go into another topic yang menarik, and that is on complementary, alternative dan traditional medicine, dan apakah kaitan dia dengan nursing. That's why you're going to discuss. So balik pada pukul 2 petang. Have you alright? Okay, terima kasih. But hopefully afternoon will be very sleepy time. I want more of perbincangan. Two-way traffic via dialogue, other than dari seorang. Okay.